This morning's message, when it comes to Scripture, there are many places in the Bible that give direction for Christian leaders. There are also areas that give guidance towards choosing your leaders and qualities that they must possess. There are only a couple of places that really spell out the qualifications for both pastors and deacons. Qualifications in full detail. 1 Timothy chapter 3 is one of those areas. Now, before we start looking into God's word that he has provided to us in chapter 3, I first want to recap what we went over in the first two chapters, and that will lead into the first point in today's message. Now, 1 Timothy was written by the Apostle Paul to a young pastor named Timothy in regards to several issues that Timothy was facing within the church at Ephesus. The letter is intended to give encouragement and direction. The true gospel is spelled out, as well as false teachers and how to handle them. The point was that if the message doesn't fit nicely into Scripture and misses the mark, then everyone should be aware and beware that they may be a false teaching. There are many pastors, many, many pastors, and unfortunately some are false teachers. We must be aware of that and prepare, put on the gospel armor. The point was to not allow any of these false teachings into your church in any circumstances. Protect yourself. Protect the word of God. We must pray for all. It is especially important to pray for the leaders throughout the world because they have the ability to affect our lives. Those who lead in group prayer are to be men with sound temperament, strong faith, and live a good Christian life. We must recognize the authority given to men, and we also must recognize the authority given to women in regard to the gospel, in regard to the ministry. We must recognize the gifts of the Spirit in like manner, to know what the Lord wants you to do and to stay on task. Our Lord is much smarter and wiser than we are, and he knows what we need more so than what we know. We must follow his commands, know the gifts within the body of Christ, focus individually to the direction that the Holy Spirit gives us, and not long for areas within the ministry that we have not received direction from or gifts in. This results in a wonderful harmony, strength, blessing, and God will truly be glorified. All of this helps us to understand not only proper church conduct, but it also gives us guidance and properly deciding who our church leaders should be. We should always keep God's love as the central understanding throughout the Scripture. Making decisions requires a certain amount of judging. The main idea is doing this series is to ensure that as a church body, we are well equipped with the Word of God to make a solid, biblically sound decision concerning a new pastor. As the Lord guides us in this process, we don't know how much time it will be before we have the opportunity to make these decisions, but we do know that we currently have that time and we must utilize the time and prepare. And this is the lead in to the first point of today's message. If we are to examine the qualifications that the Lord has given us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, in order to make proper judgment, we should first go to the book of Matthew chapter 7 and examine what Jesus Christ tells us about judging. So if we would turn to Matthew chapter 7 and look over those verses again, judge not, lest ye be judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam from thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now the first and biggest mistake that many people make is quoting the first verse and leaving that as the entire message. Leaving the idea that God's word is telling us simply not to judge at all. Non-believers especially actually love this verse because it gives them a way to accuse Christians of being hypocrites. If ever their sinful, immoral lifestyle is brought up, they feel that this verse gives them an easy out to be exempt from hearing the word of God. Don't you judge me. Christians have also used this verse without a proper and full understanding. And the center point of the Lord's lessons, instructions, and commands is, as I said, love. He knows what's best for us even when we don't. It is not that we are not to judge, but we must do it correctly. If we don't have a loving, forgiving, and compassionate heart, then we should certainly stay away from judging. For judging others, that is. So put yourself in the hot seat. How many of you would openly like to be judged by a cold-hearted, pride-filled, intolerant, unforgiving, motive-filled individual? By someone looking to glorify themselves. I proved that you are wrong, you are imperfect, thus proving that I am right, and therefore much better than you. Don't be that person. If you go down that road, then you can surely expect the same from others. Reading verse 2 again, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And we skip down to verse 12. Jesus sums up the point that he's making. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Correct? Philosophically, it's a very easy, simple, simply understood and agreed upon. But perhaps it's not so easy in its application. As always, the Lord is there to give us his loving guidance in such matters. You go to the Lord for his strength and his direction. Let him lead. The next three verses collectively give us that direction. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in your brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? You hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. It's very fitting that this point is made during today, our Communion Sunday. It's certainly not the only time that we are directed towards examining ourselves. In this situation, it is necessary to look inward and recognize our own shortcomings and to take time to make our own corrections. Take the time to make yourselves right with God. If we are to judge, we must start by judging ourselves. Done correctly, it would mean a very humbling experience for us and should put our hearts in a proper place to judge others in a loving and caring manner and with all humility. Remove that huge beam out of your own eye so that then you can clearly see to remove the little mote from your brother's eye. It's about making proper judgments with a proper heart, all centralized around God's love for you, the love that you have for him, and the love that we have for each other. It is sound doctrine. We now may begin to explore 1 Timothy chapter 3. And the title of today's message is, So You Want to Be a Pastor. The emphasis is on you. And that's on purpose. Because as we go through, I would like everyone to internalize each qualification. It not only helps you to fully understand the significance, but also the tremendous responsibilities that go with this very important position. Church leaders are all very human and imperfect. Our Savior is the only one who is perfect. And thankfully, He is already the head of our church. What we are looking for is an imperfect man who has grown with the Lord to a Christian maturity high enough to reach the specific qualifications. Someone who has been called on by the Lord to watch over and protect His church, His children, us. Someone who has love in his heart for God and for you. Now, before getting too far ahead of ourselves, let's go to the first verse of 1 Timothy, chapter 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. As reference to last week, the word man in the original Greek has two different meanings. One referred to human beings, and the other specifically referred to males. And the way the Strong's Concordance works is that you go to the first large section of it, and you look up the word in the very same manner you would a dictionary. You find that word, and it will give reference to every place that that word is found throughout the entire Bible. It's quite a unique tool. And in this case, you find the reference to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, and you will see a four-digit reference number. Then you then go to another large section in that book, match up that number, and it gives you the original Greek word and the meaning of that Greek word. And in this case, the word man does refer to a male. And if a man desireth the office of bishop, he desireth a good work. The interest to serve, the desire to serve, is indeed a good and wonderful desire. There are many of you who indeed feel the desire to serve the Lord, I as well. There are many areas of the ministry to do so, but when it comes to pastors and deacons, scriptural qualifications must be met. If someone doesn't meet these qualifications, it doesn't mean that you are not to serve at all, but you must serve in a different manner. And there are many ways to serve. And when you go to the Lord, confess your desires to serve Him in an increased manner. Ask for that increase and the guidance, and it will happen. It has absolutely happened to me. At this point, I want to give you a little bit of testimony. It's not going to be easy for me to do so. I need to go back long before I started coming here, long before I discovered Sand Lake Baptist Church. I was a Sunday school teacher in another church, and I had never done that before. I had never done anything like it before, and I absolutely needed the Lord's help, and I would go to the Lord on a regular basis, asking Him for the guidance and knowledge I needed to teach His word. Before it's too long, I became a Sunday school superintendent. I continued praying for that increase that I needed to serve Him better. And it was around that time that I made a commitment to the Lord to serve Him in any capacity that He wanted me to. It was shortly after that that I became an ordained deacon. And keep in mind that it wasn't a simple matter of receiving an offer, an acceptance of the offer, and then just being handed that position. I needed to be carefully examined, questioned, and go through a complete process to determine that I met the spiritual qualifications. And after many years, I found Sand Lake Baptist, and I was again asked to be a deacon. And for me, there wasn't an option. I had already made a lifelong commitment to the Lord to serve him in any capacity, and I already was a deacon. Now, the significance of this testimony is coming up very shortly. I ask that you pay very close attention, because I want you to internalize what I'm saying. Now, after a few years, Pastor Sam left, and I was put in a situation in which I was working with several deacons from outside our church. I had many conversations about yet other deacons, and whom I still haven't met, and many of the things that they were doing. And I needed to re-examine myself, my own personal growth and maturity. And I concluded that I had been extremely stagnant. Why? I had failed to continue to go to the Lord and ask. I had hit a plateau and stayed there. Failed to ask for that increase and his necessary love and guidance. It was a huge failure on my part. We must all solely rely on God for everything we need, everything in our lives. And that includes a closer relationship with him. Granted, I had been praying throughout those years, but I failed to ask for the tools that I needed to be closer to him. Upon realizing that, I tried to make that correction, and I had been praying for that increase that I needed, praying that the Holy Spirit directs and guides me so that I could glorify him more. Pray that his will be done and not my own. Those prayers did indeed change my life. The Lord changed my life. I was no longer stagnant, no longer in that comfort zone. I began to feel an incredible draw to learn God's word more in very detailed, challenging manner. For the first time in my life, I drew an interest to taking college-level courses, but I didn't have a clue as to where to go, how to do it, how to make it happen. And I shared this with Mary Ellen on a vacation. We were heading up to Lake George for one of those dinner cruises, and it was a nice time. Highly recommend it. But in sharing this with her, she thought it would be a wonderful idea, a wonderful opportunity, and she would help me as soon as we got back. And that actually never happened, because as soon as we got back, I got a phone call telling me about Faith Bible Institute. The Lord provides, and provides quickly. We never had a chance, because he was already there, already prepared. Now it's been nearly 3 years later, and my studies are almost through with that institute. And the Lord did provide in that one key area. I mentioned my comfort level. The Lord has been taking care of this one as well. When Sam left, the deacon committee consisted of me, Dave, and Vince. And out of fear, an absolute fear, I completely ran away from any opportunity to lead or share messages. I put everything on them. A year later, and our church is again in a similar situation, only this time I no longer had someone to pawn those things off onto. The fears were still there, and I could not do what I needed to do alone. It was only in relying on God, relying on him and only him for everything in my life, as you need to as well. I'm giving you this testimony because I want you to internalize it. Where is your path with the Lord? Where is your Christian maturity? Where is the Lord guiding you? Where is he directing you? Rely on him. Go to them in prayer. And certainly don't make the same mistakes I did. So, kind of summing things up, many years ago I went to the Lord and asked him for very specific needs, and he provided. I stopped asking. He stopped providing. I went back, and I got, and on a daily basis, not stopping, the Lord provided and continues to provide, and he provides in abundance. I hope that you truly understand that your desires will be provided for, but you need to go to the Lord and ask him and be specific. Courage, strength, a closer relationship with him, the ability to glorify him more, or anything else that you may need, that you desire, all to glorify him make sure that in your heart, it's about God and not about you. Stay focused on God. That is the purpose of us gathering together and to be here. And although these passages written specifically about a pastor, there's much we can learn and personalize for our own spiritual maturity. Where is the Lord leading you? What are your spiritual desires? We will obviously be going through this chapter at a much slower pace than we did the first two. There is a tremendous amount to be discussed. And if we look at verse 2 for a sneak peek, this is what's to come. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Just one verse. Much more to come. Very detailed. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, asking for guidance and also asking for forgiveness. Give us the guidance that all of us need to glorify you, to grow in your word, and to always, always remember what our loving Savior has done for us. It's in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.